Well, with this text today, I will be focusing basically on two verses, maybe two and a half verses. And I'm purposely staying away from what could be called the meat of this section, because I want to hear from Michelle Rowe. And you may know Michelle. She's a wife of Pastor Paul Rowe. He was walking around here earlier today. He's the pastor of the Messianic Congregation, Shema Yisrael. And she's going to be providing, hopefully in October sometime, a study of the words that are used in that passage. And so I'll let her do that, but I still want to go over some of this material and focused again at the beginning of that section and at the end. Now, Dan Ryland, who is the executive pastor of 12 Stone Christian Church in Lawrence, Georgia, he's a mentor for pastors, and he has a weekly email that he sends out. And the title on this one, the subject was, Church is Not a Christian Cruise Ship. And it intrigued me. It intrigued me so much that I forgot to read the article. And I'm going to be honest, I really wanted to, but just the title just kept speaking to me. It made me think about the impression that we may have about what church is. Not only what it is, but what it should be. And when I say church, I mean not only Mount Air. I'm talking about the church universal. There's millions and millions of people that are gathering together in different days of the week that come together to worship God and to learn about Jesus. So I wonder, what is your idea of what the church is? What do you think that it should be? And how about our congregation? What should our congregation be and be like? I have an idea. We should all be 20 years younger. Well, I think wisdom is a good guide here, and Sophia, not Sophia, but wisdom. You missed last week's. Maybe you heard it. Did you hear it? Okay. All right. Good. Sophia would say to us, the church, including this congregation, is at war. Why would that be, you say? Well, because Christianity is a journey of struggle. Let's put this in context a little bit. Paul has been working on these Ephesians from the metro area of Denver. You know them, right? You know them? Those Ephesians? They come to Mount Air Christian Church and to others. There's Ephesians here. And he's been working on them. He's been working on clarifying their identities in Christ. And he's been working on lifting them up, recognizing the goodness that they have, what they have received, the gifts that they have received. But he's also been working on his ortatory. We know that word now, right?
Yes.
Right? That exhortation that comes from the deepest part of who Paul is. And he's just doing it. The last three chapters of this letter of Ephesians, basically, most of the letter, I would say, is basically telling them what to do. What is it that you need to do? The only time that he begs, he's not telling them, he begs them, is in the first verse of chapter 4. He says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling through which you have been called. And from there on, he just lets them know what that life is like. Life in unity, life in the usage of their gifts. He's no longer asking them not to live as other people live. You see, that alone should call our attention. He says, put away all yourself and be imitators of God. Live in love. Be subject to one another. Kids, obey your parents. And parents, do not disturb your children. And then he goes on and says, servants, obey your masters. And finally, he comes to this conclusion here. Be strong in the Lord. I don't know about what you hear when you hear those words, but if that is not a struggle, I don't know what is. Because there's all this exhortation for us to live in a manner that separates us from the world, but yet it's not asking us to hide away. And our tendency as human beings is to always create an environment without tension. Hello? Right? Our tendency is to fix things, to create a place without conflict, free of disturbance. But if we are going to be true to Christianity, it means that we are going to be challenged every step of the way. Because the wisdom of the world, the culture, and all the media is going to be in our face. And it's going to try to affect us. So we want to come to our meeting place with our people and have some solace and have a little bit of fellowship and food.
Yes.
Right? You know what's happening after service? Right, there you go. Right? And so that's what we want to do, and maybe that's a problem because it's not necessarily the reality of our lives. And we'll take a closer look at this cruise mentality that I'm talking about. Now, what are some of the characteristics of a cruise? First of all, isolation. Right? Why would you get in a vessel? I mean, any logical mind would think, why would you get in a vessel and get away from everything? Right? If it's not, because you want to be isolated. Because you do not want to be part of what your daily routine is like. Right? You're basically getting away, that is, in the middle of the water, and it only comes in contact with land occasionally, right? Those who've been in a cruise, please, right? It just comes in contact with land occasionally, and when it happens, there's a purpose for it. They're called tourist traps. And as far as I know, in contrast, my life is in contact with land all the time. Right? I am basically connected to life all the time. I cannot, no matter where I go, separate myself from this world. If I go into a cruise, I'm just trying. But the reality of my life is that I'm thinking about it. So even when I'm in the sanctuary, right, on Sunday, I may be thinking of the bills that I have to pay, the problem with my sister or my brother, the situation with my kids or my grandkids, my health issues, and how I live in retirement. I don't know, it doesn't sound like a cruise to me, right? Now, second, the Christian cruise is full of Christian activity, right? Now, what is that? Bible studies, meals of fellowship, there we go again, right? And the pool. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that doesn't qualify, but it's, I mean, the intention is to have some peace, right? To enjoy, to relax, isn't it? So, yeah, it goes along with shalom. Don't we all want shalom in our lives, right? So, yeah, the pool qualifies. And when that occasional land stop occurs, we're herded all into the tourist traps, as I mentioned, so that we can spend all our money. Now, you could argue that Bible study is good, right? Anybody would like to argue that? Nobody? Bible study is good, isn't it? As a matter of fact, Ecclesiastes 12:9 says that besides being wise, the teacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs. So there is wisdom into teaching and sharing scripture. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. Ah, so you see, now we're talking about food too, right? So those who were following Christ actually did these things, so maybe that Christian cruise is not a bad thing after all. There is definitely nothing wrong about a Bible study, right? Or fellowship meals, or any of those activities. But what's the purpose behind it? Is it to isolate ourselves from the world or to prepare us to face the world in a faithful way? I think that's a key question that we must continually look to answer. What's the purpose of it anyway? Finally, I will not get into the occasional land stop and the tourist traps because I really have nothing to say about it. But I will address another aspect of the Christian cruise. Exercise. Anybody that has been in a Christian cruise knows that you're not going to stay in your room all day long, right? Anybody? It'd drive you nuts. So we need to get out. And whether it is walking or running or playing or simply going, moving, just to stay regular, you know what I'm talking about. There is plenty of opportunity in a cruise for exercise. Now, exercise in our Christian walk, did you see what I did there? Exercise, Christian walk. Exercise in our Christian walk is critical. But not just for staying active. This is what Paul states. Be strong in the Lord. And in the strength of His power. I want you to hear this. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Usually when we exercise, we are trying to take care of this, right, Brother Scott? And we are trying to strengthen this. Because we want our bodies to be healthy. And sometimes where we go to when we think of Christian exercise is, I need to do it. I need to do this. I need to strengthen myself so that I can do it. Do you see the problem with that? Anybody? You see the problem with that? This is what Paul is telling us. You need to be strong, but not in yourself. You need to be strong in the Lord. And realize the Lord's power in your life. It goes on, because this is the part that I have bolded in my notes, okay? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, there is a purpose to that. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Where in the world is that? Okay. All right. I did the work for you people. In the NIV, it's translated the evil plans. In the Message, it's translated everything the devil throws your way. In the Living Bible, translated strategies and tricks of Satan. Now, again, I'm telling you these things because I think that we sometimes read that and say, oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, the devil. Yeah, I've heard about him. But we don't realize what's really going on. We don't necessarily point to the cause of all the stuff that is going to us. Have you ever heard one of those great philosophical questions that pops up every time there is tragedy in our lives? Why would God allow that to happen? Have you heard that? Why in the world would God do that? Have you ever heard anybody saying, why in the world will the devil do that? Anybody, have you ever heard anybody saying, why in the world would the devil mess with my life? For some reason, it so happens that we only think that God is the one that is active in this world. And we don't realize that we are struggling. For a struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's right. I would like to say this to the resist movement. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And any of the other movements that are attacking one and the other, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We have an enemy that is constantly trying to kill us, to destroy us. And He'll use anything to separate us from the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. If we were in a cruise, it's time that we get into the field of battle. Now, check this out. Please just bear with me, I'm finishing. Oh, great, I don't have glasses, so I don't know what time it is. This is what Paul says. Pray in the spirit at all times. Please repeat that with me. Pray in the spirit at all times. That's how Paul starts his last oratory to the Ephesians. Man, that word is something else. It sounds so beautiful. Pray in the spirit at all times. Keep alert and persevere in all supplication. I mean, did you hear how he finished that? Stay in supplication for each other. For Rhonda, Shirley, for Jim, for Lila, for Marianne, for Brenda, for Walt, David and Ellen, you know, who knows where they're at right now, right? Stay in supplication from there. For George, for Ruth, for Jamie. Let's be strong together. Let's pray for each other in the spirit. Now, yes, for me too. For me too. Paul does something in this last verse of this section that really gets to me. He says, pray for me that I may be able to say the right word. And I tell you, when he said that, I said to myself, but wait a minute, man, you're Paul, dude. What do you mean? You're Superman. You must have this down. You must not need anybody to do what you need to do. How come are you asking for prayer? And I guess that Paul really understands that it is not in him that he has strength to do anything, but in the power of the Spirit of God. So yeah, let's be strong together. Let's worship together. Let's lift up his name and declare all the benefits that we have, that we enjoy for being part of his people, recognizing the grace that he has just offered to us, the love that he has given to us, and the favor with which we move and function in this world, and ask God for knowledge and the power that we need to be strong in the Lord. Amen? Now we're going to be singing. And this song is